If you like your ladies wild and feisty, you have come to the right place. I'm Jody Ambrose, author of Sex, How to Get More of It, and Intimacy, How to Get More of It, and there's nothing I'd rather do on a Monday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern than tune in to the amazing ladies of Cougar Chat Radio. Enjoy the show!
Welcome to Cougar Chat, where fun in the sun isn't always a non-nudity sport. So hang tight, and let's have some fun tonight.
Hey everyone, welcome to Cougar Chat. It's January 21st, 2013, and we have a great show in store for you. We have the former VP of Columbia Pictures joining us in a few minutes. And before we begin, I apologize for last week's show. We had some technical difficulties with the quality of the sound. It was a recording of a recording, and being, you know, we're not such techie people, so I apologize. But quickly, ladies, how are you? How was your weekend?
Mine was good. How about everybody else?
Mine was busy. We had a snow day when it rained, and then so the kids have been out for like almost 6 days now.
Oh my God, you guys, you're wimps. Snow day for rain.
I love snow. I know, you just have to threaten snow in North Carolina.
They said it was going to be bad, so they woke us all up at 6 a.m. to tell us school was canceled, and all it did was rain all day.
Wow.
It rained here for a solid week. Then it was snow and we were happy. And it's going to be a high of 34 today, so I'm doing the happy dance.
I think we're only making it to 25.
Awesome.
Oh, I don't know what minus like 28 Celsius is equivalent to in Fahrenheit, but it's fucking cold.
That's like zero, isn't it?
Shit.
Isn't that like
it's pretty cold.
More than that.
I thought it was like a 5-degree difference. It's cold.
Damn cold.
So my weekend was good. Quickly, I have a question that I want to pose to you guys. Something happened over the weekend, and you know me, I'm very liberal when it comes to friending people that I haven't met on Facebook to try to, you know, promote our show and everything else. Well, that's come to a sudden halt because this weekend I'm laying in bed at 11 o'clock just, you know, perusing my phone one more time before I go to bed, and in pops a message. And a Facebook message, and it's from this guy that he appears to be a model, you know, appears to be very fit, and he appears to, you know, he posts all these sultry pictures and whatever, and I just usually ignore him, and I've never talked to him, ever, but I get this, and you know when you open a message and it's on your phone, you have to scroll up?
Right.
This message was so long, I had to scroll like 3 times, and it was nothing but flat-out porn, and I thought, who does that? Who sends something like that to somebody they have never, ever, and I mean never, talked to?
Wow.
That's weird.
What was the, I mean, did he have a point behind it? Did he want to come on the show or something?
No. I just saw a few words, and I'm like, oh, my God, delete. And I just completely, I blocked him immediately.
He was just advertising himself.
Yes, ma'am.
You should have saved it and read it to us.
I think you would have all fainted. I think, you know, we're very...
Who would have fainted?
Not Nan.
Nan might have too, trust me. Well, I will give you his name.
I'm pretty sure my spelling was correct. I'm sorry, what?
Nan, I'll give you his name.
Say no. Gee, thanks.
I'll give you his name if you can look it up and have fun.
How was his grammar?
I didn't get that far. It's hard to misspell some of those words.
That would have been, like, terrible for... Like, if your daughter, like, got on your phone and...
Thank you.
That would have been horrible. Oh, my.
I think it's, like, serial killer-ish to send messages to somebody you don't know.
It is. It definitely is. But
somebody seems to be pretty cocky, thinking he was good enough to show himself.
Well, I mean... You know,
who knows if it's even him?
That's what I'm saying. I was just going
to... Probably not.
I was just going to get into the catfish discussion. You know, who is it really? Is it some 800-pound man living in his parents' basement still, just writing porn all day? I don't know.
Okay. Right, because everyone's gorgeous behind the computer. I mean, we are. We are absolutely.
Of course. Skinny, gorgeous.
People are menace. They know.
Yeah, all five people know us. I got five friends. Woohoo!
Just pay them well.
Yeah, I do. I'm really short. I'm very short.
I have 606, but yet only 10 ever to post on my page.
I get the same. I actually blocked two people and deleted a friend today. Just I'd had enough of the, you know, political crap.
Yes. I deleted someone because of the political crap. And it's like, you're not even a friend of mine. We have acquaintances.
Mm-hmm.
You know me because you don't know me. We went to the same school, but you weren't even in my class.
Yeah. Well, one was my cousin, and I don't I don't really even know him, but hey, that's what it is.
Yeah. I mean, I threw some questions up about, but it wasn't like getting into the politics of it and just, you know, Jen, you saw it today. So I'm not a big politician type person at all.
Oh, who'd we lose?
Somebody fell.
My head was off my head. It was paranormal.
Save yourself.
Jen, step away from the tequila.
Hey, speaking of tequila, I have to just throw it out there as a public service announcement because you should always stop drinking after one bottle of red wine. You carry it on to a second bottle and decimate that as well, you're probably going to be feeling really bad the next day.
Yeah, especially if you don't drink any water like certain people told you to before you went to bed.
Yep. I did. I so did. I drank so much water. And then I was up at 7:30 in the morning and hauled my ass onto the sofa and was semi-conscious there until like 6 o'clock in the evening. It was ridiculous.
You have to drink as much water as you drank alcohol.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you can do one-to-one and then drink more water before you go to bed, that's a good way to do it. It also keeps you from drinking too much because you'll absolutely float away if you drink all that fluid.
Or piss the bed.
That's really bad.
Wow, it's so warm in here all of a sudden.
Oh, okay. All right. Really, hey, I wanted to mention the shows we have upcoming in the next few weeks. So on the 28th, next Monday, we have musicians Solo. They're in Maryland, Pennsylvania, right, Michelle?
Yeah. Well, Virginia, okay. Too.
Virginia. And they have some great connections. You want to kind of tell us a little bit about them?
Oh, my gosh. Well, a couple of them are actually friends of mine. And
Of course they are.
Well, the one was my guitar teacher, and the other one was a very good friend of mine. He's the drummer now. He's new to the band. But some of their friends would be like, oh, what's that group called? From the 80s. I know. I was going to sing a song and see if anyone could guess it, but thanks. No, Kix with Steve Whiteman. If anybody remembers Kix. And they actually opened for Kiss. They were actually handpicked by Kiss themselves to open up for them.
Very nice.
Wow.
So pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Very cool. And then on the 31st, we're doing a pre-record with Dee Wallace. We might remember Dee Wallace from movies like Cujo and E.T. And then
you might remember her.
Well,
she's a huge icon from every 70s movie.
She was the mom, right, on E.T.?
Yep.
Yeah.
And she's been in a lot of other stuff, too. February 4th, we have Eric Sprague. You might know him as the Lizard Man, the guy with all the scale tattoos, and he's even got the implants. And yeah, he's a very cool guy. On the 11th, we bring back our relationship correspondent, Jody Ambrose. She is the author of Sex, How to Get More of It, and Intimacy, How to Get More of It, and she is out with a brand new cookbook. So we're excited.
Yes.
Yeah.
Haven't talked to Jody forever. It'd be nice.
I'm trying to get her on as our entertainment correspondent. But she's too busy.
That's
I don't
okay.
care. Yeah, whatever she's on with us for, she is a friggin' killer hoot. I can't believe I just called her a hoot. Sorry, Jody.
She is a hoot, though. In the nicest way.
Yes. Yes.
Killer.
She's adorable.
And yeah, that's a word my mom uses all the time. Andrea.
Mine too.
Just to make you feel better there.
An international mom recognized jargon.
That's so funny.
All right, well, we are going to take a small break, play a commercial and snippet of a song, and when we come back, we'll have our guests on the line. Hang on just a second. Hey, New Jersey. Need work done on your BMW or other fine car? Montclair Motorworks in Montclair, New Jersey offers fast, reliable service with competitive pricing. With a BMW tech on site, they also have a state inspection station. Let Montclair Motorworks help you. Call them today at 973-744-9839. That's 973-744-9839.
She's in her sexual prime. I got a pistol of diamonds. She's sipping on gin and tonic. Got me to know that she's fine. She got the bang, cap, hang, cap. Up at the bar, she's in a tank top. Nails done, looking like claws. And some say that she's too old. But I like the way that she takes control. And some say she can't be tamed.
Song by our friend Ryan Mayberry. And tonight we have a special guest for you. We have Bill Ewing. Bill is a producer, writer, director, and former actor. As VP at Columbia Pictures for 15 years, he supervised the production of more than 100 films, including Awakenings, A League of Their Own, My Girl, Groundhog Day, In the Line of Fire, Air Force One and The Patriot, and tons of others. He is currently developing and producing independent film projects. We look forward to hearing more about him. And Michael Beckman, his friend and business partner, will also be joining in on the discussion. So, hello, guys.
Hey, hello.
Hi. Hi there.
Hi. How are you?
Hey, Bill.
Welcome on the show.
Good.
Thanks.
How are you?
Good, good. We are live. We just brought you right in.
Right on.
You doke.
Very good.
Great.
So, Bill.
Yes.
We chatted a little bit today.
Yes, we did.
And we talked a little bit about the film that I just watched today, End of the Spear.
Oh, okay.
You want to tell everybody a little bit about that and how that came about? Because it really moved me, by the way. I cried the whole time. Michael can tell you.
Oh, wow. Great. Well, thank you so much for watching the film. Actually, End of the Spear was the project that I was a co-writer and lead producer on. It was the project that I went to work on after I left Columbia Pictures. It's kind of an interesting story. I partnered with Mark Green. Mark Green is part of the Green family. They have the Hobby Lobby stores. And
oh, wow.
And Mark is the chairman of Mardell Christian Book and School Supply Stores. And he's a real interesting guy. When I met Mark back in 2001, he had never seen a movie in a movie theater. So it's real interesting.
Wow.
I didn't actually generate this project. It was generated by Mark Green, and he was at an event where he heard Steve Saint, who was a five-year-old boy when his dad was speared to death in the Ecuadorian Amazon in 1956. Mark heard Steve tell his story, and then along with Steve was this little Waudani warrior, the tribe that killed Steve's dad and four other missionaries were known as the Waudani. And this little man was with Steve, and that was the person that had speared Steve's dad, like,
right,
45 years prior. And it's a pretty amazing story. And Mark kind of looked around, and Mark was in his 40s, and he looked around and he said, gosh, I'm the youngest person here to hear this story. Where's all the young people? Young people need to hear this. This is an amazing story, because during the telling of the story, Steve, you know, recounted what had happened and how their relationship, Steve and Minkai's relationship, had developed to the point that Steve's children and grandchildren refer to Minkai as grandpa.
Oh.
And he, yes, that's the absolute truth. And, it's just pretty amazing. But that's
wow.
That's how the project came about, was through Mark Green.
Okay.
And then,
now he's been under some fire recently with his Hobby Lobby and Obamacare and all that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I can tell you, I didn't know anything before I got involved with them. I really didn't know anything about Hobby Lobby or, you know, the Green family. I just kind of did some research because a friend who was working with them said, you know, would you, since you're a movie guy and none of this group has ever done movies, would you be, you know, willing to kind of advise and counsel? And I said, yeah, sure, yeah. You know, they asked me if I knew the story, and the first time I heard the story, I was an eight-year-old boy living in Alliance, Ohio, and the story broke on in Life magazine by Cornell Kappa, who was one of Life magazine's premier photojournalists. And Cornell Kappa was sent down by Life magazine to Ecuador, believing General Nuremberg and some U.S. military, because they thought that the five missionaries were being held hostage. And so they went down as a party to kind of free the men as hostages. And when they got down there, they found out that the men had been speared to death. So, yeah, it was a pretty interesting story. And I remembered the story being an 8-year-old boy. And so my friend said, you know, would you just help us? Because none of us have done movies. And that's kind of
so
all
was that
I had
the,
done.
I'm sorry. Uh-huh. Was that the actual Life magazine in the movie?
Yes, it was. Well, what we did, it's Life magazine gave us permission. It's the only time, I believe this is correct, it was the only time that they gave us permission to recreate those photographs. And then we came out, Life magazine gave us permission to do a 50th anniversary edition of that article and show our photographs from the movie that we had reenacted, as well as the original photographs.
Wow, powerful.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing
thing. The End of the Spear, it's available now on Netflix, and is it on Redbox as well?
Do you know what, Jen? I believe it is. I believe it is on Redbox.
Everyone see it. So, well, now I digress. I kind of jumped ahead, but you were an actor.
And
you then made your way to some very, very prominent and influential positions. Do you want to kind of tell us how all that started?
Sure. I got involved in this industry as an actor, you know, doing television and film. And, you know, I had a fair amount of success, but it soon became apparent to me that the odds of, you know, really making it were, you know, we're very challenging. And so in 1970, I was cast in a movie called Johnny Got His Gun by the writer and director Dalton Trumbo. You probably have heard of Dalton Trumbo. He was one of the Hollywood Ten that was convicted during the McCarthy era by the House Un-American Activities Committee. Dalton had written the screenplays for Spartacus, Exodus, Roman Holiday. In 1956, he won the Academy Award under his pseudonym of Robert Rich, and just an amazing, amazing writer. And he wrote this novel in 1939 called Johnny Got His Gun. It was a very strong anti-war novel, and I was cast in the part of Carl to be in that picture. And it was during that experience of working on that movie that Dalton encouraged me to start writing. So I started writing screenplays in 1970. And then that kind of led me to wanting to learn about production. So I went to work for Dino De Laurentiis in 1975, working in production on the first remake of King Kong with Jeff Bridges and Jessica Lange and Charles Grodin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I go back a ways. And it was during while I was working on that picture that I met a gentleman by the name of Gary Martin, who was the construction coordinator for King Kong. He was probably the premier construction coordinator in Hollywood. He had done Tora Tora Tora. He built Hello Dolly Street. He had done Annie, you know, built the whole Annie set on the back lot of the Burbank Studios. And just an incredible guy. And it would be Gary Martin who eventually, in 1986, would hire me because he became president of production at Columbia, and that's how I got to Columbia. But I learned production kind of from the ground up, starting as a PA. And then it was in 1980 that I partnered with another writer. His name is J.S. Cardone, and he and I together co-wrote and developed a project called The Slayer, and we went out and we raised independent financing for this little low-budget horror thriller movie, and that was my first producing job in 1980. Then in 1984, Joe and I did a picture called Thunder Alley, and then in 1986, I went to work for Columbia Pictures.
Now, is there a movie that you wish you had done and didn't get a chance to?
Well, oh, that's an interesting question.
That's a good question.
Yeah, that's a great question. Wow. a movie
like
that I...
something came across your desk and you said, no, you know, I'm going to pass.
Oh.
And then it turned out to be a
blockbuster. Let me explain to you. Well, here. Let me just explain. My position was a production position. I was not a creative executive. So in our department was responsible for making the movies, not choosing the movies. Okay? The creative vice presidents are the ones that decide, okay, we're going to make this story, and this is the writer we're going to hire to do this, and Tom Cruise is going to star in it, and Ridley Scott's going to direct it. And that's the creative department. Then once those big decisions are made, then it comes to our department. It's like, okay, now you guys are in charge. You see that the movie gets made. So that's what we did. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I really didn't... you know, I didn't have the opportunity to pick and choose movies. However, I can tell you an interesting story. My favorite movie that I worked on while I was at Columbia was the movie A League of Their Own. And the reason it was just an incredible, you know, experience. Penny Marshall was just a terrific director, and the cast, you know, Tom Hanks and Gina Davis and Madonna and Rosie O'Donnell. I mean, it was just... it's girls playing baseball. 10 years mm-hmm. prior to working on that movie, I was writing and developing projects, and a friend of mine by the name of Michael Lembeck, we were in college together as actors. Michael has gone on to direct the Santa Claus movie franchise for Fox, very successful director. And we were developing projects together, and Michael called me up one afternoon and said, you need to go out to the newsstand, buy Sports Illustrated, go to page 16 and read the article on page 16 and call me. So I did. I ran out. I grabbed the Sports Illustrated, turned to page 16. It was an article all about the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League. I said, whoever knew that women played baseball in the major stadiums during World War II? I've never heard this. He goes, I know. Isn't it a great story? I said, it's a great story. So Michael and I and another writer by the name of Phil Keller developed a project called The Rockford Peach. Now, it's a completely different storyline, but it still was based on the women who were part of the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League. Now, nothing ever happened with that movie, but then 10 years later, after I had worked on Awakenings with Penny, and she moved her deal from Fox to Columbia, they brought League of Their Own to Columbia, and I got to be the production executive and actually meet the women that I had researched 10 years prior. So
wow.
That was great. That was just an amazing experience.
And the Peaches, was that an actual woman's
baseball
team?
Yeah, the Rockford Peaches. Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
Oh, okay.
The Rockford Peaches were an actual team. Yeah, that they used in A League of Their Own as well.
Yeah,
but
that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty incredible.
So who's the, speaking of Madonna, who's the craziest, and can you answer this question? If you can, I understand. Who's the craziest actor you've ever worked with?
Well, you know, oh, gosh.
They're all kind of crazy, I know, in their own
little
way.
Well, you know, I'm an actor, so it's like, you know, I mean, the thing about actor, and I love actors, I mean, you know, it's, the craft of acting is just amazing. And, you know, you have to...
What about
you have to have your emotions, you know, or like, have to be, like, right on the surface. And, a lot of people don't realize what goes into the making of a movie, especially from an actor's point of view, you know, where you might have to say the same line 15 or 20 times. And every time, you have to figure out, how do I make it fresh? How do I make it, you know? So when I was an actor, I actually loved the theater more than I loved television and film. You know, completely
different
technique.
Yeah, I hear that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, I was very fortunate in my career. I've just worked with, you know, I've been so fortunate to work with some of the greatest actors and greatest directors. I mean, you know, it was an incredible 15 years at Columbia Pictures.
Well, who is the most fun for you personally?
For me personally, Again, I'd go back to A League of Their Own. The most fun was that cast, that group, Tom Hanks. There just isn't a better guy in the world than Tom Hanks. And, you know, and they were out there. I mean, they worked hard. I got to tell you, you know, we hired Rod Dedeau, who was the USC baseball coach at the time. And I mean, those girls, Rosie and Madonna and Gina, they Lauren Petty, they all, boy, they put their nose to the grindstone. Those girls became professional baseball players. They really dug in and did it. It was great. I mean, it was just a ball. You know, I can remember being out on the practice field and hearing Rod Dedeau. You know, he's just a, you know, he's a baseball coach. He's a baseball guy. You know, here's Madonna, you know, and they're trying to get her to throw the ball and hit the ball, you know. And she's throwing, she's trying to figure it out, and all of a sudden Rod Dedeau goes, "Madonna, what are you, crazy? You're throwing like a girl. Don't throw like a girl. These women don't throw like girls. Throw like a man." You know, and boy, by the time we rolled film, she was firing that ball. It was great. It was a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we need to take a short commercial break, so I'm going to put us on mute, play a commercial or two, and we'll be back in a couple minutes.
Okay.
3, 2, 1. Hey, Jen, do you know where we can get some great T-shirts?
We should use Dark Side, Inc. They're a unique apparel company that strives to give the customer the most diversified choices in design. We could get some rockin' T-shirts from them. All merchandise and original artwork is done in-house, so we need to give them a call at 508-676-6606 or go to darksideinc.com. And until next time, remember, everyone has a dark side.
Are you tired of waiting for Halloween to be frightened? Then get your scare on this coming March 21st through the 24th as Phenomenology comes back to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Phenomenology 105 is the largest and most eclectic paranormal conference in the Northeast. Come meet and greet with celebrity guests, attend paranormal investigations and lectures, and have more fun than a gaggle of zombies in a cage match. Scheduled celebrity guests include John Zaffis and the cast of Sci-Fi's Haunted Collector,
Destination Truth, Josh Gates and Rex Williams,
Psychic Kids stars and psychic mediums Chip Coffee and Christopher Fleming,
Darkness Radio's Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis,
Pennsylvania Bigfoot researcher Eric Altman,
Brian Cano, Chris Mancuso, and the Scared Crew,
Extreme Haunting Survivor Bill Bean,
UFO Abductee Travis Walton,
and much, much more. Also, don't miss out on our junior ghost hunts,
private paranormal investigations,
scaryoke in the lounge,
and the first annual Zombie Ball.
That's March 21st through the 24th in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. For tickets, visit the website at www.phenomevents.com. That's www.phenomevents.com. Phenomenology 105, where fact and fiction collide.
I'm too sexy for my love. Too sexy for my love. Love's going to leave.
Listening to Cougar Chat. I'm one of your hosts, Jen, and I'm joined by Michelle, Nan, and Andrea, and our guest is Bill. Bill, still with us?
Yes, I'm still here.
Hey. Thanks. Hey, Michael, still with us?
Yep, I'm still here.
Okay, cool. If anyone has a question for our guest, please call in at 661-244-9818, and we'll be happy to take your call. So where were we?
Well, let's see.
League of Their Own.
Yeah, League of Their Own.
Yeah.
And I guess probably another one of my favorite, you know, projects to work on was the first Spider-Man movie.
Come on.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. You know, we were fortunate enough to have John Dykstra as the visual effects supervisor. John had done the original Star Wars movies with George Lucas, and just a real genius when it came to visual effects. And so, yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of
Spider-Man.
Yeah, I wanted to ask. This is Michelle, by the way.
Hi,
I wanted to ask, how much time do you guys... Hi. How much time really goes into making the effects for the movies, and how much of it is done on computers?
Well,
it depends on the movie.
Yeah, and today, I mean, pretty much everything is computer-generated.
Right.
And we had... we probably spent a good 9 months just on the visual effects for Spider-Man.
Wow.
Just scores of people. I mean, it was very intense, very intense. Yeah, that's opened up a whole new world. I'm sorry.
I'm not a big movie person. I don't watch a whole bunch of movies.
Uh-huh.
But I have seen, you know, Spider-Man and The League of Their Own.
What are some of your favorite
Men in Black.
Movies? Oh, Men in Black. Yeah, I worked on Men in Black.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun to work on. I mean,
I bet.
Will Smith is just a great guy to work with and a lot of fun. And the dynamic of Will and Tommy and Barry Sonnenfeld as the director was pretty fun.
Your fugitive's name is Dr. Richard Kimball. Yeah.
You're right.
I'll put your day job, honey.
Oh, hush.
That's good.
So, Bill, you and I were briefly talking today about the rating system.
Yes.
I told you my story recently. I was thumbing through some movies on Time Warner Cable on Demand and came across, let's watch this old film. Let's watch 16 Candles. And I start playing it with a room full of teenagers and a 12-year-old, my 12-year-old son, and just full-on, you know, boob shot in the shower. And I'm like, how is this PG-13? So tell us a little bit about how the ratings are determined.
Well, the ratings are determined by the Motion Picture Association of America, the MPAA, and they actually have a rating board, and the rating board has certain criteria for each of the ratings. In order to get a G rating or a PG rating or a PG-13, as we were talking about earlier today, Jen, you know, you can use the F word once and still get a PG-13. There are certain criteria in terms of drug use, sexual abuse that are automatic R's. And violence, and it really is all up to the rating board. And once they screen the movie, then they give you a breakdown on what exactly determined the rating that they gave you. And like we were talking earlier, originally, End of the Spear, which in its release was rated PG-13, but the first time the rating board screened it, we received an R rating due to violence, okay, because of the spearing sequence. And it's kind of an interesting story. There was a sequence where one of the characters runs over to the airplane when the spearing raid starts, and he gets on the radio, and he's trying to raise the home base on the radio to tell them they're under attack. And one of the warriors comes up from behind him and spears him, okay, in the back. Now, we had a plate on the back of the actor. It was a balsa wood spear, so it, you know, when it went in, it did not go in. It just broke, right? And so, but when he arched his back, as he felt the pressure of the spear on the plate in his back, he arched his back, and at the moment he arched his back, the wind came up and blew the front of his T-shirt out. And I'm telling you, every time I saw it, you would just cringe because you thought the timing was so perfect, it looked like that spear was going right through his body and coming out the front. And so the MPA said, you know, I said, but no, here's what happened. You know, it didn't. We didn't do that. They said, too violent. So we actually had to cut before the T-shirt, you know, blew up and looked like, you know, it was going through. And then there were a couple other sequences where they felt, you know, there was too much blood. But they give you a list, and then you have the ability to go in, make changes, and then resubmit the film to be re-rated. Okay. So that's how
To re-rate it. I've seen some PG-13 movies that I cringe watching with my kids that I'm like, these should not be PG-13.
Right. Right.
I need to be on that board because, you know what, everything would be rated R.
Yes, it would.
Because I still watch I Love Lucy and Leave It to Beaver.
Right, right. Father Knows Best. And yeah. Yeah.
You know, Little House on the Prairie.
I'm sorry, I do. I still watch all that stuff. You know, but.
What happened to good wholesome entertainment?
Those are great shows. Those are great shows.
So would you ever act again?
Yes, I would. Boy, you see how long I hesitated on that? In fact, I'm still a paid-up member. I'm still a paid-up member of the Screen Actors Guild. And,
very nice.
Yeah, and I'm married. It's kind of an interesting thing. I am married to an actress and a singer and a dancer who my wife, Susie, was actually one of the gold diggers on the Dean Martin show for 5 years. She did 3 world tours with Vietnam with Bob Hope and the USO troop. And, it's kind of real interesting. And then, you know, she hasn't done it in a while. And then last year in October and November, she was in a musical, and now her career is reinvigorated. So, she's out there working again. And so I would act again in a heartbeat.
That's good to know, Bill.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
No one, if I would happen to see, like, Sylvester Stallone walking down the road, I'd be like, Sylvester. All right. I wouldn't do it with all actors, just one here, one there, maybe.
Right.
Is there any actors that when they see you, they have that same type of reaction?
Well, here's the thing. When I was a studio executive and you're the production guy, it's like, you know, they know the production people are where the rubber meets the road, right? We're in charge of the time and the money and, you know, what's getting done. So it's just like everybody has to be nice to the production guy because, you know, we're
good to know.
So, yeah. But yeah. So no, I never really I never had problems and, you know, was kind of a fun. I was, you know, so much of the time I was always in awe. You know, I was an actor who became a writer and then who learned production. I was an independent producer. So you can imagine when I went to work at the studio, I mean, here I was suddenly, I was working with Jim Brooks and Ridley Scott and Francis Ford Coppola, Steven Spielberg. I mean, it was just like, oh, my God. I mean, I'd have to pinch myself, you know. I mean, I remember one afternoon the phone rang. My assistant picked it up, and she put it on hold. Then she buzzed my office, and she said, Bill, Stanley Kramer is on the phone for you. I was like, oh, come on, you're kidding me. Come on. Who's calling? Stanley Kramer. Yeah, right. Stanley Kramer calling me. No, she goes, Bill, it's actually Stanley Kramer. And so I picked up the phone. I go, hello, Bill, this is Stanley Kramer. And it was Stanley Kramer, you know, and he was one of my jobs was to provide him. He signed a deal with the studio. And one of the things I was in charge of was making sure everybody had, you know, adequate office space. So he was calling me. And I got to, you know, take him and show him his office space, and then we spent probably about an hour, and I got to ask him about, you know, Inherit the Wind and Trial at Nuremberg. It was just Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. I mean, you know, amazing. Yeah, it was a deal, I'll tell you that.
Well, so you left to pursue your own projects.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about what independent films, if any, you're working on now?
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. Right now we're putting together a project. It's called Blink of an Eye. It's based on a novel by Ted Dekker. He's a New York Times best-selling author. He does a lot of thrillers, and this is kind of a thriller movie. It takes place in the Middle East and along the coast of California, and then kind of winds up in Las Vegas. And it's kind of a chase picture. It's about a student that's getting his doctorate who has an IQ that can rival Albert Einstein. And suddenly he is gifted with the ability to see multiple futures. And he sees things that happen like before they happen, and he doesn't know what's happening to him because he has this tremendous intelligence as well. And he ends up using this gift that he gets to save a Muslim princess who's fleeing from the Middle East because people are after her for an honor killing. They, you know, she left the person that she was betrothed to and came to the U.S., and so then it becomes their story of how they get together, and no two people could be more different than these two characters. And so it's, yeah, that's the project that I'm working on now. It's called
Blink of an Eye.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we are going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back.
Ghostly voices or whispers, phantom footsteps, strange specters of light, moving shadows. Prepare to take a ride on the darkest side of the night with Prism Paranormal Research. Visit us at www.prismparanormal.net.
Like an eternity that my life was such a mess. I'd given up on everything, and I'd surely failed life's test. There was no help anywhere, no light shining down. You know my feet were sinking fast into the muddy ground. So I searched for an answer to all my rainy days. So alone and lonely, no help to come my way. My help would only come if I got down on my knees and asked the Lord to send me some. He can't move a mountain, but you have to move the dirt. He'll be
listening to Cougar Chat Radio, and we are we are on with Bill Ewing. Everyone still with us?
I'm still here.
Hey.
Yes.
All right. Thanks. Absolutely. Fabulous. Bill, we were talking about your independent projects, and did you want to discuss that further? You have anything else you want to promote while we're here?
No, that's the one that's up next for the board.
Blink of an eye. Very good.
We'll
look forward to seeing that. I think Michelle had a question for you.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, Bill. Was it easier to get into the business years ago than it is for someone to try to get into it today?
Wow. That's a really good question, Michelle.
Well, thank you.
You know, the business is a lot different today. Okay? I mean, When I started acting, you had to go to a photographer, get headshots, right? Mm-hmm. The only way you could get an agent is if somebody had given you a job and you would you know, you had the ability to appear on TV or in a film so that you could have a clip to show somebody, hey, I've worked. Today, with the advent of digital technology, I mean, I really think it's easier to promote yourself. It's easier to, to show your work. And, you don't have to live in Hollywood to be an actor. I mean, some of my real close friends, you know, that had relocated here to Hollywood, now they live in the South. They live in the Midwest. They live in the Northeast. And yet they're working all the time because everything is done over the internet. They shoot their auditions, you know, send them on MP3s over the internet, get cast, do the job. I mean, it's just amazing today. So actually, it's different, but I would say it's probably easier to break in today.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but back in the black and white days, mm-hmm. It seemed like the actors had to have talent.
Yes.
I mean, I'm being serious. You had to be able to sing, you had to be able to dance.
Oh.
Da, 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 da.
Right.
And nowadays, it's like, just like in the music business, there's so much behind the scenes with technology. You mm-hmm. can make somebody sound good now.
Absolutely.
Which
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree 100%.
It's too bad, you know.
Excuse me. What we had during the golden age of Hollywood was the studio system, where whether you were working in a movie or not, you were training every day. And that, I agree with you, is lacking today. The studio system was great for discovering, cultivating, and developing talent. And also, in all kinds of areas, not just actors, but that's what they did with writers. That's what they did with cinematographers. That's what they did with directors. That's what they did with painters and set builders and everything. I mean, the studio was like a little city. You know, it was self-contained. And, you know, people took pride in building the brand of the studio. And we don't have that today. Today, everybody's kind of a personal brand.
Right.
Right? And people don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I ask people, I go, well, do you know what studio did Batman? I don't know. Do you know what studio did Spider-Man? Do you know? I mean, it's real interesting. Probably the one company that's been a standout in recent years is Pixar Animation. Because people can always go, oh, yeah, Pixar. Animated film, if it's great, it's Pixar.
Right.
You know, so they've done a really good job of kind of maintaining that studio quality in animation.
So these days, anyone can become a Justin Bieber. Just submit your YouTube video.
Well, I mean, it's really, there you go. I mean, that's how he got started, was viral, and, you know, it went on the internet, and people saw it, and boom, all of a sudden you turn around, and, you know, he's a major star.
Yeah.
I have to change
the
subject just for one second.
Sure.
But Justin Bieber's hair is, like, way older than what people think. Because I was doing those haircuts on young kids before Justin was a household name. So.
Oh, you're taking credit for that? Okay.
No, not at all. No. It was just around way before Justin became who he is. So.
Right.
Yeah, so that's all.
You heard it here first, folks. Michelle came up with the Bieber hair.
All right.
I should patent it, right?
You should. Good luck with that. Trying to get a trademark has been a nightmare. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Gentlemen, we have about 7 minutes left. Michael, is there something you wanted to talk about?
Whatever. I'm good with anything. I'm really honored to be able to work with Bill. Mm-hmm. I feel those who don't know Bill on a personal level like I do, we spend quite a bit of time on the phone navigating through projects and he advises me on some stuff that's going on in my life, and he's just, I really cannot say enough about this man. He's just a class act. He's an honest individual. He's just with his acclimates, you know, he has so much experience in the film industry that my very first conversation with him was, it was exciting, but yet it was like I was almost talking to my dad. He's that personable with people. He's just a really loving guy. He's down to earth. He's super, super humble. One of the most humble people I've ever worked with in my life. And I haven't worked with nearly as many high profile people as he has, but my world has been more of the rock scene and producing and directing high profile rock shows.
Michelle, you didn't hear that.
I did not hear that.
And,
Michelle loves rockers.
Oh yeah. Well,
they're
awesome.
Band.
Well, we're gonna be down your way here pretty soon. I'm now doing bookings for Bill. So anybody that wants to book Bill for an event or speaking engagement or an appearance, they're more than welcome to get a hold of me at 814-521-0342, or they can email me at relentless.beckman@gmail.com, and I would love to schedule anything that that you guys that make, you know, any kind of events or anything like that. And then I also am the manager and manager for Sam Shoulders, the Machine Gun Preacher from the major motion picture Machine Gun Preacher, starring Gerard Butler. I'm also Sam's
Butler.
Manager. and we're getting ready to go on tour here just on Thursday. We'll be starting a tour with Easy Rider. And so I do all the bookings for them as well. So, and again, you can catch me at 1-8-4-5-2-1-0-3-4-2 is my direct line. And then for those kinds of things, for Sam, it's mgpstaff@yahoo.com. But Bill is just, he's been an influence in my life. He's really a positive type of guy. And he always, always returns my phone call. You know, I'm just really honored to be a business partner of his, to be able to partner with him and do some stuff together. And you're just an amazing man, Bill. I really appreciate your advice and your counsel and the things that we talk about, brother.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that very much, and the feeling is mutual.
You're not blessed, Bill, are you?
Yes, I am.
Oh,
what's that?
That Michael, I'll tell you, he can... he's some kind of guy.
Well, Bill, if you want to collaborate, Michael, Bill, if you want to collaborate on a Cougar Chat screenplay, we are all ears. Just
okay.
Saying.
There you go. There you go.
That's funny. Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us, and we'd love to have you back anytime.
Well, thank
Bill
you
Ewing.
All. Yeah,
oh, yeah,
thank you all
Maybe
very much.
Maybe when you get your project done.
That would be great. I'd love to.
Very good. Well, you guys have a great week, and we will talk to you very soon.
Okay. Well, you too. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you,
ladies.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Mike.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
He was really fun to talk to.
Oh, great guys, both of them. Michael's a hoot. He called me today, and he said, I just want to thank you for your Facebook post. You are hilarious. I'm like, oh, well.
Oh, thank you.
That was Bill Ewing, former vice president of Columbia Pictures. He's done a lot. I learned a lot. So in the next couple weeks, we have great shows coming up. We have Solo, musicians out of Maryland, Pennsylvania, Virginia area, with some great connections to the 80s band Kix, et cetera. We have Lizard Man coming up on February 4th, Eric Sprague, Lizard Man. On February 11th, we have our relationship correspondent, Jody, to discuss her newest book, Darn Good Eats. We have some great shows and some great guests coming up.
Great. We also just wanted to give a quick shout-out to Tiffany, who's recovering from a stroke. And if anybody could say a prayer, that would be awesome.
Tiffany Johnson, yeah, she's a dear friend of ours, and she had a stroke a few days ago and has been through surgery. One surgery or two?
Two.
Wow.
Yep. Two. Part of her brain, her skull's been removed to release the pressure.
That's awful. And she is the biggest, bubbliest blonde bombshell that you'd ever come across. Just
she
the,
is.
Ray of sunshine. So get better, Tiff, fast. Yeah. Well, God bless, and we will see you next Monday, same time. Y'all have a great week.
Great.
Bye.
Night.
If you like your ladies wild and feisty, you have come to the right place. I'm Jody Ambrose, author of Sex, How to Get More of It, and Intimacy, How to Get More of It, and there's nothing I'd rather do on a Monday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern than tune in to the amazing ladies of Cougar Chat Radio. Enjoy the show!